So it's been a while since we've done a baby dedication, and it's a wonderful time of making a confession of faith, and this is more about Casey and Katie making a confession of faith to raise Nolan in a godly home that's God-centered. That is, they stand before you this morning. They're making a commitment to be godly parents. And we as a church are going to stand with them in that. And I wanted to share a few verses. Deuteronomy 11:18, and this verse we read last weekend for Mother's Day. And it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." And so I just want to encourage both of you to keep God's word in your heart, to keep it in your home. Let Nolan see it in your lives as you pray together, as you sit at the kitchen table and talk together as a family. It says in Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." And so I also want to encourage you that you not only are affecting Nolan, but your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and even up to 1,000 generations by being godly parents and living a godly life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Familiar verse, but it's so true. Training and teaching and discipling him to be a godly man as he grows. And the last verse I wanted to share, and I love this verse, the third book of John 1:4, and it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And we all know that as parents, that there's no greater joy than to see our children walking in the truth and to know that he's going to be raised in a godly home so that he can be in heaven with you all someday for all eternity. And so today, as we stand before you in this body of believers, we want to make a commitment. And you guys are making a commitment to raise Nolan in a godly home. And that by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we as a church are also going to support and pray for them. And that's what I'd like to do right now. And so I'd like everybody to stand. And we're going to anoint Nolan and Casey and Katie with oil. And you guys can stay where you're at. You can stretch out your hands or you can bow your head or whatever you want to do. And we're going to lift this family up in prayer right now. Let's pray for this family, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and I lift up Casey. Lord, that he would be a godly husband, that he would be a godly father and a godly man in his home. Lord, that he would seek you each and every day. And Father, for Katie, that she would be the wife and the mother that you've called her to be. Lord, that she would instruct Nolan with wisdom, that she would pray over him, that she would be the mother that you've called her to be. And Father, for Nolan, I pray that you would protect him, that you would watch over him. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to guide him from an early age, Lord, that he would know that you are real, that you are there, that you are with him. Father, may there be a special anointing upon his life, Lord, that you have a plan, you have a path for him, and that he would realize that early, and that he would seek you all of his days. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And we got Nolan a little Bible and a certificate to commemorate today. And so y'all give him a hand and let's just stay standing and continue to worship.
God, yes, I am a child of God.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here. So thankful for your many blessings, for all that you've given to us. Lord, I pray by faith now that your Holy Spirit would minister to each and every one of us this morning, that there'd be repentance, that there'd be encouragement, that there'd be deliverance. Lord, that our eyes would be open to areas in our life that we have been blinded to, Lord, and that you would just cleanse us and make us new. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, it's kind of funny. I knew we had the baby dedication today, but as I was preparing the sermon, it had completely left my mind, it's really a kind of heavy topic for today, but I really felt like that this was what the Lord wanted me to preach today, and then after I got all done and it dawned on me, we're doing baby dedication, and man, what a message for a baby dedication. We're going to begin in 1 Timothy 4:1, and it says the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So you can see where we're going today, okay? The spiritual warfare that's going on for so many. Often when I read these verses here in 1 Timothy, I often think about a deceiving spirit and the demons as I think about cults. I think about, different religions that don't recognize Jesus as the only way to heaven, as our Lord and Savior. Talks about false prophet in the end times and everything, but I've been hearing some stuff and I have not fact checked it, so I don't want to go too deep in it, but some of these movements that are taking place right now in America, I've heard that some of the leadership is actually, there's videos and things of them talking about, talking to spirits, and a lady that had died in 2004, one of them is claiming is giving her wisdom and advice. And these are some of the movements that's taking place in America today. And so we look at stuff and we think, I don't understand why they're doing this, but there's very much a spiritual battle taking place right now for our country. And for us individually, I don't know if you've all ever felt it, but I have felt it. I've felt, if anybody's ever struggled with an addiction of some kind, or even some kind of sin that really grabs you easy, you know what I'm talking about. When there's been times that it's almost a physical fight going on in my inner being of resisting, I really believe that there's a spiritual warfare going on for us, and it says that many will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. But as I began to think about it even more, is what the deceiving spirits are, because many of you, if not all of you here today, you're not going to necessarily abandon the Bible altogether and go to another religion. I mean, I've seen it happen, but it doesn't happen very often. You probably all are pretty established and you believe in Jesus, I think. Okay. You believe in the Word of God, but as I began to think about it, and I thought about the deceiving spirits that are always creeping into our life and that can lead us astray so quickly. For instance, Friday I was driving home from work and my brother called me and I was visiting with him, and we were having a good conversation, talking quite a bit, and I set my cruise. Usually I'm 56, 57. Sometimes I'll get real brave and set it on 58, okay? I don't speed no more. But it always drives me crazy, and you guys have heard me talk about this. You've all experienced it. At the end of the four lane, people will punch it to get around you, okay? That's fine. Punch it. Get around me. I understand. You want to drive 60 or 70, drive 60 or 70. That doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is I don't turn off my cruise in them curves. You can make those curves at 57. You younger people don't try it, okay? I don't ever turn off my cruise, and I just keep going. And this truck had been following me the whole way. Stand right with me. All at once, whoosh, he comes flying around me and slows down to 44. And y'all, I was so angry. And I got right up against him. And I thought, if he slams on his brakes and I rear-end him, I'm going to get out and let him know, why do you drive like that? That's what went in me. Quit, Pete. Calm down. Why are you in a hurry? It doesn't even matter. Whew, calm down. But y'all, for a moment, that spirit of anger gripped me. And I was ready to ram into him. I didn't care at that moment because it just, why do people do that? If you do that, stop. Okay? It's okay. But I was just thinking about all the different things going on in our lives, and sometimes we just dismiss them as flesh, and sometimes they are, okay? I'm not saying there's a demon around every corner, but I wonder sometimes if we don't recognize the real spiritual battle and the demons that really are causing these things in our lives to get us off track. I want to go to Acts chapter 8 if you want to open up there. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to talk about Simon the sorcerer. Acts 8, verse 9. And it says, "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him. He had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he had saw." Okay, I don't want to get way deep into this text here, but I want you to understand that Simon, what did it say? He believed, but he was astonished by the great signs and miracles. And I think there's still people today that's chasing after the great signs and the great miracles. And y'all, the great signs, the great miracles, they should be part of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. But if you're chasing after that, you're chasing after the wrong things, because we're to live by faith, okay? And so, but he's looking at these great signs and these miracles. In verse 14, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, and they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Okay, there's two things I see there. Simon had been used to having this great power and authority by the demons, and so he wanted to continue in that. And he thought, wow, this is amazing that they're receiving the Holy Spirit. But I wonder where his motive was, because not only was he trying to buy it, and we all know it doesn't matter how much money you have or how little money you have, that Jesus Christ has offered his free gift of salvation to each and every one of us. We can't buy it. We can't take $1 million and give it and say, okay, we can't give to the orphanages in Kenya. We can't, you know, do all these wonderful things with our wealth and expect, okay, now Jesus is, now I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. But that's where his motive was. Peter answered him, may your money perish with you, because you have thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So what spirit was Simon the sorcerer still of? He was still of wealth. He was still of money, of a selfish nature, of that I want to be able to do that so that people will come to me and continue to come to me. And I wonder how many of us are still of a worldly spirit. He was very much of a worldly spirit. And what would happen in the worldly sense of followers and wealth and prosperity, okay? And I wonder how many of us are still living in that, in our hearts and in our minds, of that worldly sense and that worldly spirit's grabbed hold of us. I want to go back to Jonah now. And I hadn't talked about Jonah, I think, in some time. And we're not going to go through the whole story, but Jonah 1:1-3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying for fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, we all know the story. Hopefully all of you know the story from when you were in children's church or whatever. What happens? Jonah ends up, the shipwrecks, or the ship's being battered by the ocean, by the winds. They throw him overboard. A big fish grabs Jonah, okay? But so often that's the focus of the story of the whale and the big fish. And we miss the fact Jonah's running from God. He's running from God. He does not want to do what God's told him to do. And so jump down to chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, in the word of the Lord, this is after Jonah's been swallowed by the fish, okay? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. He began to preach to them and told them that 40 days and God was going to bring calamity on them. God was going to bring destruction upon them, but they believed. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let him give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and have compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So you would think there would be great joy from Jonah. Look at what I did, or what the Lord did through me, and all these people are repenting, they're changing their lives, things are changing around here, the evil that so inhabited them. I've not found, but I heard a preacher say once, and I've not found any factual backup to this, but I've not gone really deep. But I'd heard this preacher say that the people in Nineveh had actually worshipped like a fish god. And so by Jonah being spit out upon to the beach by a whale, that gave even more power to to what he was saying. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe you guys go home and look it up for yourself and come back and tell me if it's true or not. But I haven't been able to find that. But it is a kind of interesting side note. So these people everywhere, they're repenting. They're turning to God. Verse 10, when God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them destruction he had threatened. Y'all, that's a beautiful story to me. And it's a beautiful story for us today, is that if you're living in evil, if you're walking in rebellion, repent. Repent this morning. Repent right now. Ask God to forgive you, and He'll forgive you. He will. He's such a loving and gracious and kind God. But back to Jonah, okay? So Jonah here in chapter 4, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh God, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" What spirit was Jonah operating in? See, the Jewish people, they very much did not want to share the message of God. They had lost sight of the whole purpose and why God had chose them and what God wanted to do with them. And he had such a controlling, self-righteous, selfish spirit controlling him that he didn't want to share the gospel. And he's angry that these people are repenting. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 9 and Luke 9, and y'all, I'm really discovering some stuff that's really been bothering me, okay? And we'll see it in just a minute, okay? Luke 9, verse 51. And it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. The disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven because they were not accepting Jesus. And what really bothered me about this is that what was left out of these few verses here. When you look at the King James Version in verse 55 and 56, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And what really bothered me is that Jesus has said that you know not what manner spirit you are of, but the NIV doesn't say anything about the spirit there. And what, I don't know, what's just kind of playing in my mind is that Satan is doing everything he can for us to not recognize that there is a spiritual warfare going on for us, that there is spirits that's trying to control you and me. And Jesus is saying, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what you're doing here, trying to call down fire from heaven. And I wonder how many of us, we don't realize what spirit we're of. We're of wealth. There's a spirit of wealth and prosperity and the more money you have and the more toys you have, then you're a better person, then you're a better man, then you're a better woman, that you're more valuable because you have more stuff. That's the America way now. Some of us are of the spirit of fame, and we're just... I saw a story this week, and I promise, I try not to look at the news as much as I used to, but I still have a little bit of problem, okay? Did y'all see the story this week where it was a 28 or 29-year-old woman in Florida posed as a high school student and put on a backpack, and I think she was carrying a skateboard and just walked into class with everybody else and was going to class? You know why? To get more followers on her Instagram or something, to try and get more followers because she wanted more fame. 28 or 29, y'all couldn't pay me $1 million to go back to high school, and she's doing it to just get more fame. It's crazy, but people are drawn to that. We do things to get more fame. More, some of us are of the spirit of power. We all want control in our homes, to the sense that there's a anger and bitterness. We want more power at work. We won't listen to anybody else. Some of us are of the spirit of power, of anger, of self-righteousness, of selfishness. Friday when I was driving home, I don't know if it was the flesh. I don't know if it was a spiritual realm attacking me, but I know that I got angry quick to the point that I would have been okay ramming into that guy. Y'all, that shouldn't be in me. That shouldn't be part of me. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled. Okay? You get that? Be self-controlled. That's if someone cuts you off in traffic, you're not full of anger all of a sudden. Be self-controlled and alert. How many of you have ever heard a noise and all at once you're really alert? Like you're just kind of not paying attention, but you hear a noise. Or have any of y'all ever been walking in the woods and seen a snake and all at once, then you're really alert and you're looking like, is there any others? I've been, one time I was walking between our house and Mark and Tamisha's house and I heard something rattling. And all at once, boy, I stopped and I was really attentive all of a sudden. I thought, is it a rattlesnake? And I don't know what kind of snake it was, but it was coiled up and its tail was rattling, but it was a non-venomous snake. But it was rattling, playing like it was a rattlesnake. But boy, I got alert in a hurry. So be self-controlled and alert. So all of us need to be that because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Last 2 weeks ago, I was mowing up at my stepmom's. And she has 5 acres, and it kind of goes back into a really deep wooded area. And I was mowing, and I just felt like somebody was watching me. Have y'all ever felt that? I felt like somebody was watching me or something was watching me, and I thought, Pete, you're just being stupid. And I'm looking all around. There's nothing watching you, you know? And so I mowed for probably another 5-10 minutes. I don't know. And all at once I saw something walking, and I thought it was a big dog. And it looked just like Travis's dog. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Travis's dog. Many of you probably hadn't, but it's probably a 120-pound dog, this huge dog. And I thought, is that Travis's dog? And it was just walking right on the edge of the woods, and it stopped and it looked at me. I'm riding on a mower, and my first thought, is that a wolf? It looked like a wolf. And I was like, no, they don't have wolves around here, you know. But it's just staring at me. And I'm like, that's a coyote. And y'all, I was like, from me to the back of the church, on a mower, heading straight towards it, and it's just staring at me, not scared at all. And then I'm like, oh man, I wish I had my pistol. I wish I had them. What am I going to do? Because he was not scared of me. And I started hollering at him, get. He didn't run. He just kind of looked, took a few steps away, looked again, and then walked off real slow into the woods. I don't know if that's what had been watching me the whole time or not. But y'all, that it kind of creeped me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. But it made me think of the spiritual realm. The devil's always prowling around looking. How can I trip Pete up? How can I trip Jeremy up? How can I trip Mitzi up? How can I? And those spirits are always there with the wealth, with the money, with the fame, with the anger, with the selfishness, with the lust, with whatever it is, trying to pull us away, seeking around, looking for who he can devour. Have y'all ever known somebody that it just seemed like they had a perfect life and they had a great family, and then they go and have an affair, or they just leave their spouse, or come to find out they were cheating on their business and they were stealing money? Have y'all ever known anybody like that? I know several people that's been caught, and you're like, what are you thinking? You destroyed your family. You destroyed your home. You're in jail now, or whatever. What spirit was in control of them? You know, we think of the in the last days, it says that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. We always think of that. And it says things taught by demons is, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus, and I wouldn't ever leave the Bible and follow Islam or follow whatever. I wouldn't do that. But I wonder how many times Satan is putting those spirits in front of us, and it's those little deceiving spirits that's leading us astray and destroying our homes, destroying our walk with God, destroying our families. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. You know, we don't see it today like back in their day, the demon possessed and things like that. But y'all, it's so real. And I think today we take medicine, we take pills, we drug people, and then we just make excuses with they're this or they're that. But how many times is it the evil? Is it what's going on that's pulling people away? I've struggled with things myself, y'all, and it's just like I can feel a real battle going on that I know if I give in to that, it will destroy me, and it can destroy me. 1 John 4:13 says, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. So let me ask you this morning, do you feel God's Spirit? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in your life? Even more than you feel those deceiving spirits? Because that's what tells us if we're really in Jesus, that we know we are in Him and we live in Him because He is in us, because He has given us His Spirit. Sometimes I think about the battles that I'm in my heart and in my mind, and the anger and the in the different things that I battle with, but I know that that battle's there, and I know that before I knew Jesus, there was no battle. I did it. Whatever it was, I just gave into it. It felt good. I wanted to do it. I did it. Didn't care if someone made me mad. You let them know they made you mad. Whatever. You know, you just give into that. But see, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, then there should be that self-control, that there should be that restraint. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." I want y'all to pray, pay close attention here, okay? "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." See, are we of the spirit of the deceiving spirits that's leading us astray? Or are we of the Holy Spirit that's leading us to righteousness? And are we believing and relying upon the Holy Spirit? And are we seeking the Holy Spirit? And are we being strengthened in our inner being? I want you to think about that. Is there a new strength inside of you that you didn't even know you had? You know, oftentimes I see it in a family tragedy where someone has died suddenly or someone's been lost unexpectedly, and people that have Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, it's just completely different. There's pain, there's hurt, there's grief, but it's different. I've been at funerals and had to preach funerals where the people there, majority of them, didn't know Jesus, and the person that's in the casket, we don't know. And there's just a different grief. There's a different pain. Is there an inner strength inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit? In verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." And when I read that and I thought, man, I don't speak the word of faith enough, even for my own life. God, through faith, I believe that You're dwelling in me. Through faith, I believe that You're going to guide me. Through faith, I believe that You're going to help me resist this sin, this temptation. Y'all, that's not the miracles. That's not the sign. That's not getting up and dancing and doing cartwheels down the aisle. But if we do that, praise the Lord. But you know what, that everyday inner strength of faith of going, God, You're going to see me through today that I may glorify Your name through faith. Even when I don't feel much like a Christian, even when I don't feel much like a preacher, even when I've had all these thoughts in my mind and I'm going, through faith, God, strengthen me. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know His love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." To be filled with fullness of God. "And now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, some of us are just existing. And some of us are just, you're just making it every day. You're struggling, you're battling. And I praise God that you're struggling and battling, but church, I think there's more that God wants for you and me. And it's a life filled with the Holy Spirit, not being deceived by the demons of this world, not seeking after the things of this world, the fame and the money and the wealth and the worldly system and the things and the toys, but it's to be filled with God. And watch and see that He can do more than we can even imagine. You're maybe bound up in some sin right now. You're bound up in some addiction. Give it to God. Really seek God in faith and see what He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, most Christians I see are drained and they're beaten up and they're and they're worn out. But here it's saying that we should be overflowing. But it's the Holy Spirit doing a work in us. It's the Holy Spirit coming to us. I'm almost done, church. Galatians 5:22, and we all should know these verses here, but I always go back to, is this in my life? And this is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Church, does that characterize your life? The fruit of the Spirit. If it doesn't, then there's a problem. And there's a need for us to pray. There's a need for us to ask God for forgiveness. There's a need for us to get this Word in our life, because that's how we get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's the Word of God working with the Holy Spirit of God to give us that self-control and then to bear that fruit inside of us, okay? Of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, of self-control. And many of us, we probably wouldn't even be able to pencil in too many of those as being abundant in our life. But overflowing. Last verse here. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, we can't make excuses. Well, those deceiving spirits, this old flesh of mine, it just keeps pulling me away and pulling me away. No, His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Any of you struggling with evil desires, right here it's saying that through the power of His Holy Spirit that we may participate in the divine nature. For this very reason, okay, here it is, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are we making an effort? Are we making an effort to seek God? Are we making an effort to be filled with God, to be filled with His Holy Spirit? And you might say, Pete, what are you talking about? Well, am I supposed to just sit around and read my Bible all day? Am I supposed to, I don't know what you're supposed to do. But if you're failing, you're not doing something right. Right? If you're being led away by these deceiving spirits, then something's not got fuel for your soul there. Okay? And so what you need to do is you need to begin to seek God through His Word, through prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and make an effort to add these things into your life. The faithfulness, the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control. You know how all that just ties together, and I could go on, but we won't. But the knowledge and self-control, when you know something's leading you astray, then you have a knowledge to not go there anymore. As much as I love pizza buffets, they lead me astray. So I don't go there like I used to go there, okay? I used to eat pizza buffet quite a bit for lunch at work, every time I could whip in there. But oh, I overeat when I go and do that, and then I'm miserable. So I don't go to pizza buffets very often anymore. Once in a while for a special occasion or a holiday, or if I'm taking the youth out, I use that excuse, you know, well, let's go get pizza, yeah. But church, that's something you guys can all smile and laugh about, but really there's areas in my life that I don't want to talk about that I know I can't go there no more. Because if I do, I'm going to fail. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. The knowledge is teaching me self-control, and some of you need that in your life. You need to understand, I need to get that away from me. I need to destroy that. And I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there is spirits, deceiving spirits. And just like that coyote was tracking me and watching me, Satan is tracking you and he's watching you and he's looking for any chance he can to destroy you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Lord Jesus, I pray by faith that right now each one of us would be examining our lives. And Lord, the spirits that's had control of us, the selfish, worldly, anger, lust, whatever it is, Lord, that you would reveal it to us and show us where we need to repent, where we need to turn away, where we need to get something out of our lives. And Father, I pray that as we just read how we're each one supposed to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and that it will produce a fruit inside of each one of us, Lord, that if we recognize we're not producing good fruit, Lord, that we get plugged back into your word and prayer and seeking you daily. And by faith, we would understand, Lord, that you will deliver us, that you will give us power, and that you will do more than we can even imagine with our life when we would just turn it over to you. So, Father, I pray right now, if there's anyone in this room that has not turned their lives completely and totally over to you, that they would do that right now. Lord, for all your children, give us strength. Lord, just as you were gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love with the Ninevites, Father, I pray that for each and every one of us this morning, that you would be gracious and slow to anger with us and forgive us of our sins. But Lord, the Ninevites repented and they turn from their evil ways. And Father, I pray that right now that we would repent and turn from our evil ways and only be controlled by your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need deliverance this morning, if you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit this morning, come and let us pray over you. Share one more story, and then we got one more thing to end. But y'all, the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. But you know, there's been times that I've lost it in my life, and it was probably 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And this is just a silly story, but the vending machine at work had messed up, and it spit out an extra Mountain Dew or something. And I'd only paid for one, so I grabbed them both, and I'm like, bonus! And I go walking out the door. And when I hadn't even got to the parking lot, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, Pete, you didn't pay for that. And I walked back in, and I set the drink on top of the vending machine. You got to say, Pete, that, what? I ain't trying to put this conviction on anybody else. If you got an extra cheese and crackers out of the vending machine one time or whatever, I'm not trying to put you under conviction, but I'm just telling you that that's how sensitive I was to the Holy Spirit. But then sometimes, y'all, I've let sin come in my life, and I've let things come in my life to where I'm at the point to where I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, Pete, stop, but I say it anyway. I say that gossip. I say that mean joke. I say that mean word to somebody. I cut them. And I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, stop, Pete, stop. And y'all, I've realized in my life, the more that I resist when I hear the Holy Spirit say, stop, the harder it is to hear His voice. So I want to encourage you to make a fresh start today. pray, God, renew my strength once again. Pour out Your Spirit upon my life that I may be so receptive to what You're saying that when I'm in Walmart and God says, stop and pray for that person, when God says, hold the door for that person, when you're sitting at home and God says, text that person, when God says, just stop whatever you're doing and pray for that person, that you do it and you do it and you do it. And watch and see what God can do with your life. Now, we got one more thing to do. I don't know if any of y'all have noticed these beautiful flowers up here. But last week, we missed a mother, okay? And she's our oldest mother, I believe, in the church, which is an awesome thing. Because we're to honor those that are old, right, and the wisdom. And y'all, Ruthie is such an example and an inspiration. I tell stories about Ruthie quite a bit and her chainsaw cutting and clearing and working and she, zip lining. What was that? 2 years ago, she went zip lining in Hawaii but y'all, Ruthie didn't get a Mother's Day gift last week and I felt terrible about it. And so, I asked Amanda what to get her. This was actually Tim put the idea in my mind afterwards, and this is what was bore out of it. But Amanda said she liked stuff that will come back every year and not just something that will die. And so, if I planted this, it would die. But Ruthie, I hope that this will come back every year and bring you many moments of blessing that when you look at this and you'll look and know how much your church family loves you. And I'm not going to have her walk up here and give it to her. I'll walk back there and hand it to her. But she's such an example and she was so gracious last week and just slipped out. And so she's just a kind, kind lady. And so you guys have a blessed afternoon. And remember Susie in your prayers. If you think of it, lift up Mark in your prayers. He's hurt his back pretty bad, and that's why they're not here today. And Tina, remember to pray for Tina. I've not heard any updates on Tina. And also, some of y'all know Bobby Shepherd passed away this week, and so keep lifting his family up in your prayers. And y'all, when the Holy Spirit says to do it, you do it. So y'all have a blessed afternoon.